Praise God and thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful sound of the shofar, blasting in through eternity, a mighty voice where God connects to, where he receives the blowing of the shofar and celebrates us, and we celebrate him tonight. Welcome to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. I am your CEO and founder of this ministry, Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Station, which has been consecrated and dedicated to the Lord God Almighty. And in obedience to the Lord, I have opened up this broadcast for the next Monday nights for the next 7 weeks, seven Monday nights from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. That's Eastern time. And 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Central or Pacific time. Anyway, my sister, Evangelist Yolanda Reeves, anointed by God and handpicked to minister to you, connected to this broadcast and this ministry by God. She is going to minister on Walking in Love tonight. I had her on my broadcast on Thursday night or on a Monday night where she ministered, and the Lord impressed upon me to open a door for her and to use this time to allow God to use her to minister to you. God has raised her up for such a time as this to bring a message to you every Monday night for the next seven Monday nights to minister to you. Under the anointing power of the Holy Spirit, I bless God tonight for her, and I introduce to you Evangelist Yolanda Reeves. God bless you, my sister. It's all
yours. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you all. Thank you guys so much for your time. Your time is the greatest commodity that you can invest to this ministry, to the broadcast, and to God especially. God is doing great things right now. I want to thank you, Evangelist Linda, for granting me the opportunity. It is an honor. I want to thank the Most High God for continuously using me to spread his teachings abroad, globally, locally, even if it's just to reach one. That one, Jesus died for, even if it was just one person. So it is an honor to speak to you all. I wanted to, before I start, give a special thanks and recognition. This service is about love, and I think it's very important to tell those that you love them and recognize them while they're alive. I want to recognize and thank all of the following people for their love, their financial support, spiritually, mental support, encouragement. My mother, especially Louise Reeves, my father, rest in peace, Derek Reeves, all my brothers and sisters across the United States and in Jamaica. It's a large family. Bridget, Dawn, Coy, Craig, Sharice, Janique with Stephanie, Jackie Curtis, Jeffrey, rest in peace, Babette Show, my church, Truth and Light Ministries, my pastors, Pastor Gerald and Renata Swain. They are awesome people. That is an awesome church. I've been so blessed with them. Elder Janet from my church, she's actually watching the kids now while I'm able to be at peace and be a full vessel to God. I thank God for her. Minister Sandy Office, she's such a blessing. Minister Brax, for her continuous mentorship in activating my prophetic gifts and continuously training me. And last but not least, all my children's godparents, Natasha Canedo, Foster Scotland, Tiffany Smith, Minister Nora and Sarge McFarland, and Dwayne, you all have been the best to me, and I appreciate it. If it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't even be able to be here in the strength of the Lord without the support and an encouragement. So I love you guys so much, and I thank you guys for everything. A blessing over the word in Hebrew. I said it from the Hebraic perspective, not to go into religion and tradition, but to find out the accurate meaning that is being conveyed from God to us before all the translations and the transliterations. So the blessing over the word in Hebrew, and I will translate it in English. We say, Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu la'asot bedarei Torah. And what we just declared in our Hebraic tongue is, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, You have sanctified us in your commandments, and you have commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of your Torah. Your Torah literally meaning and defined as your guidance and your instructions, the accurate arrangement of all things, the teachings of his word from Genesis through Revelations, and the revealing of his living word through his Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Ghost, his Holy Spirit that is alive and is true and is living inside each and every one of us today. Amen. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you to saturate the atmosphere of each individual person that is listening now and those that will listen to the on-demand broadcast later. Saturate their atmosphere and take everything captive and make it obedient unto your holy nature, into your holy realm, and just open up the eyes of their understanding and open up their spiritual ear gates and have their hearts conducive for a mighty change of you in the name of Yeshua. Amen and amen. Today, the subject is about walking in love, and before we go into that, I want to just briefly explain why we will be playing the shofar in the beginning, why I play it on the prayer services that I have, and the importance of it, and then we're going to go straight into the word, because that just sets the foundation of what is actually occurring for when you're listening for the next upcoming weeks. The shofar, everything that we do, everything that the Holy Spirit is leading me to do is scriptural based. For us to not walk in religion and tradition, like Mark 13, it states that the traditions of man that will nullify the word of God. So it says, thus you nullify the word of God by your traditions that you handed down, and you do many things like this. So we don't want to walk in tradition and religion. We want to walk by the Spirit, by the word of God, the living word of God. We want to know his word and walk it. Amen? So the shofar is scriptural. It's scriptural-based. You can see it in Exodus, in Joshua, Kings, Nehemiah, Psalms, Isaiah, Hebrews, Revelations. You can look it up. The shofar is actually a trumpet blast. It is literally is the awakening of a sleeping soul. It's the cleansing of the atmosphere to make us alert and attentive to hear and move with the Holy Spirit. It's honoring and welcoming our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the King of this universe, to captivate the atmosphere for his Holy Spirit to move in and create miracles as we're dwelling in his Spirit. It's the sound of the trumpet. It's the heavenly sound that will scatter our enemies abroad and cleanse our atmosphere, and it's also the sound of victory. So we blast that in the beginning because there's a lot of times when we go into services or we go into church or we come into an atmosphere like this, we're coming from stuff, and we need help to get that stuff off of us so we can sit still in the presence of God and hear what he's saying through the man or woman that is speaking to you. Amen? So that's why we sound the shofar. The discussion today is walking in love, walking in godly love. And there was a little a paragraph, a synopsis of what the service will be for those that are streaming it. And I wrote that the term walking in love is not just about loving one another unconditionally. It's about walking in your Christ-like identity in all its attributes and its power and becoming a willing vessel to allow the glory of God to shine through you, allowing the Holy Spirit to penetrate your heart, your minds, your souls, and those that are around you and those that you will encounter on a day-to-day basis. It's to love someone with the love of Christ, and that means to love their flaws, all the individual aspects of them, as well as their strength. It means to love them enough to tell them the truth no matter what, no matter if they like it, no matter if they don't, and to discipline and be disciplined in the fruit of the Spirit and not the ways of the world. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, it defines love. And it's always good to find a word and define it by what God said it is. Amen? Not just look it up in the regular dictionary, but look it up in the Bible and find out how God defines it and how he wants it defined in his terms and his conditions. Amen? So 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, it states, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. This type of love is the mind of Christ. This type of love is how Christ walks and moves and how he operates. This type of love is the love that we must walk in day to day. So what we're going to discuss today is some scriptures and some tools and techniques that we can use day to day to keep our minds renewed, to transform our lives, to help us walk in this type of love and display the love of God to everyone every day. Amen? So Father's been dealing with me in this area during the last couple of years, more specifically last year, and I am a very transparent person, so I am going to be very upfront. The steps that he's given me, I'm going to give to you. I notice that anytime I'm going into a situation or coming out of a situation, Father always gives me steps on how to continue to walk this love, to walk this walk, to walk this Christ-like characteristic. Because our mind says we're human because we're in flesh, and we don't really know and understand how to operate and walk in our spiritual nature and our spiritual beings because we don't constantly renew our mind the way we need to understand that we're spiritual beings first, housed in a fleshly body. I'm going to say it again. You are a spiritual being first, and your spirit is housed in a fleshly body. So you have to learn to make your spirit take control of your flesh. You have to learn how to walk spiritually first and make your flesh be submissive to your spirit. Amen? And that is something that only can be done through the grace of God, through the love of God, through the power of God, through the strength of God, by engaging with God every day throughout the day. Amen? So there were steps that he gave me to walking in love, seven steps. Actually, and that seven is the number of completion. I'll be on the show for 7 weeks. I could actually take this one message and teach on each one of them for an hour for 7 weeks, but that's not what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do. But he gave me seven messages, seven steps. One is forgiveness, and we're going to go into them thoroughly. One is forgiveness, to forgive others and to forgive ourselves. This is how we're going to learn how to walk in love. The second one is to cast down thoughts. The third one is to repent. The fourth one is the armor of God, walking in the armor of God, declaring the armor of God over you, not only over you and your family as well. The fifth one is to pray. Pray earnestly. Pray constantly. Pray consistently. The sixth one is thankfulness, and the seventh one is praise. So in this season that I'm walking in, I just went through this very sensitive subject, and those that be on the prayer line, they understand and they know already. My daughter, she is 4 months old. She'll be 4 months old on the 29th of this month. Her father is a pastor. And just a brief synopsis, last year, February 9th, we filled out our marriage paperwork to get married. And right around that same time, I conceived my daughter. We lived together. I got up every morning from 2 to 3 o'clock a.m. now, and I woke up and fixed breakfast, and if I didn't cook dinner the night before, made dinner fresh and fixed the lunch and sent him on his way every day, had dinner freshly cooked every day coming home. I noticed after February, March, the discussion about actually finalizing the marriage license never came up. Those begin to appear to be red flags to me about the relationship. Around the 6 months of my pregnancy, he completely moved out the house. And 2 weeks after that, there was a posting on his Facebook page that he was engaged. And then 2 weeks after that posting, he was married to his ex. So my old self began to rise up. My old self, for those that don't know me, I grew up in the project, Slow Bomb Housing, Municipal Housing in Yonkers, New York, New York Project. I was raised there, born in the Bronx. And so my old self began to raise up. My fleshly nature began to raise up. I began to walk in shame. I began to walk in condemnation. I began to walk in lack of trust towards people. I began to be very unloving towards those around me, very bitter, and I began to get very angry. Angry at him, angry at the situation, angry at myself because I had made a promise to God that I was not going to have any more kids out of wedlock, that I was going to wait, amen, but God, okay, but God. God is in the midst of every situation, whether you're obedient or disobedient. God is there. That's how merciful and loving our God is. Amen. He is always there. So God started sending people to get me back into my seat. What seat am I talking about? The seat that you are sitting in right now in the heavenly realm, in your identity in Christ. In Ephesians 1, 19 to 22, and it says, and with what is exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in which to come. And he, God, put all things under his feet, Jesus Christ, and gave him to be head over all things. And it continues, but I'm going to stop there. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. So you are seated where he's at right now in the spirit realm, far above all principality, all power, all might and dominion, over all things that can make seem to be chaotic in your life, over all things that may seem to be a burden, over all things that may appear to be lack in your life. You're far above those things because you're in the heavenly realm where you're truly blessed. You truly have prosperity. You truly have dominion. But we don't see that because we are looking out of our natural eye, because our intimate relationship with Christ is not as intimate as we think it is. So we don't, our mind can't receive that. Our mind can't perceive that. We have to hear it constantly. Like it says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. And what? Hearing by the word of God. You must hear that. Where you are seated, you must hear that you are in Christ. You must hear that Christ is in you. You must hear that you are a spiritual being, a force that cannot be reckoned with. You must hear that you are victorious over all things, all situations, all obstacles before you if you believe in it. If you believe in it, if you can hear that thing and believe that thing, you can walk that thing and you can see the manifestations of the living word of God manifest in the natural realm for you. But you got to hear it, and you got to speak it. Amen? So, Father, begin to minister to me on how are you going to walk in love in this situation? How are you going to love this individual, and not only him, but everybody around you that may have appeared to hurt you or wronged you or those that have used you and abused you? Amen? So I'm speaking from the natural realm. I'm going to show you what Father showed me in the spirit realm. So I'm sitting there, and I'm telling Father all the stuff that's going wrong with this individual, all the stuff that this individual did to me. Then Father begins to speak to me. So he says, this is how you're going to walk in love. First, you're going to call him, and you're going to forgive him. And that's exactly what I did. I'm going to call him. And I'm going to forgive him. God, you want me to call him and I'm going to forgive him? I'm getting ready to have a baby by myself. I have no help. He walked away from me. He's married to someone else. I'm going through all of these things. And I'm giving you this testimony because sometimes people need to relate to you as an individual aside from titles. We have to get away from the titles. Why? Because each and every one of us sin every single day. Sin, from a Hebraic perspective, is the word hex. C-H-E-T, and the word literally means to lose focus and concentration on the word of God. Each and every one of us, every single day, no matter what title you have, no matter what position you have, I don't care how much you pray, I don't care how righteous you are, I don't care if you can pray in tongues or you can't pray in tongues, each and every one of us lose focus and concentration on the word of God. It comes so quickly. It comes so quickly. So that no one should be casting stones at no one. We are all on this walk of righteousness. We are all on this walk of holiness. We are all on this walk. Yes, every one of us might be in a different place, but we are on this walk. We are trying to get it. We are trying to walk in the spirit of excellency towards God. Amen? So,
hallelujah.
Father began to tell me that you have to call him, forgive him. And I'm laughing now because I was thinking about my attitude and my character and my nature at the time. So I so bitterly, obediently answered God and said, okay, I'm going to call him. But if I call him, I don't want him to answer the phone. This is me and God's conversation. This is how I talk to my daddy. And I said, so if I call him, I don't want him to answer the phone. I picked up the phone and called and went straight to voicemail. Now, while the voicemail's playing, I'm like, Daddy, okay, I got the voicemail. Thank you for that. But I don't know what to say because I don't think that I'm wrong. I don't think that I'm wrong. We're getting a point here about how to walk in love. I don't have anything to apologize for. So if you truly want me to apologize, then I need you to speak because my tongue ain't going to say what you want me to say, and it may not be holy. Okay? So I said, I need you to speak for me. By the time the beep happened, the Holy Spirit began to speak. I opened up my mouth, and the Holy Spirit began to flow. He began to have me apologize for not walking in character. He began to have me apologize for any words that I may have spoken over his life that may have hurt him or that may be in the atmosphere, and I had to begin to pray over that and rebuke those words. He began to make me apologize for not being submissive to him, Holy Spirit, and being submissive to the temptations of the flesh and coming out of character and coming out of acting out of nature from the beginning. He began to have me apologize for things that I didn't even think about. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I had to sit there and apologize for things that I didn't even think about that I did wrong because I was so busy pointing the finger. And after he had me do this, then he had me to look the wife up on Facebook and send her a message and congratulate her on their wedding. Congratulate her and bless her. And I had to send it. So after that, I sat there and I said, okay, God, I did that. And I can honestly say, after I did that, I felt good. I didn't know why I felt good because I still was in disagreement with God that I didn't do anything wrong. So now he's replaying in my head everything I said. And I'm like, well, Daddy, is that really true? So I'm questioning what the Holy Spirit is telling me about how he's showing me how to walk in love. So after God began to show me my heart on the things that was left on that voicemail, I quickly began to turn that thing around to me. I quickly began to say, oh, God, I need you to help me. Let me focus on me. Show me what you need me to be purged from. Show me what I did wrong to put myself in this mess. We got to be strong enough individuals to look at ourselves and look at the wrongs that we've done. Look at the way we've been disobedient to the Holy Spirit and God. When we get into situations, instead of pointing and putting blame on everybody else, so we so quickly want to not love them and love ourselves and esteem ourselves. That's not right. We cannot be those type of people because we are not walking in a godly love. So Father showed me, he said, review the Ten Commandments. And I've been doing college work since I was in fourth grade. So I was like, oh, I know the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not this and thou shalt not that. And then I got down to thou shalt not covet. And I had to look it up because it started grieving me. When I got to that one, I didn't have a true understanding of what it meant. So I asked Father, what is that? What is that? I don't really understand that. And I looked it up. Covet means to yearn or to possess or have something. To yearn or possess or have something. So what Father was showing me is the reason why I got into this position, the reason why I'm walking in an unloving manner to this individual is because I already had an open door because I was already coveting. I was yearning or I wanted to be married so bad and desperately that I didn't have my armor on, and we're going to talk about that. So he began to show me the areas in my character that needed to be cleansed up, that needed to be purged, that needed to be destroyed, that needed to be buried. And he said, take your eyes off of that individual and put your eyes on me.
Amen.
Woman of
Hallelujah.
God, put your eyes on me, and let me show you what I can do for you. So after all of these things begin to happen, he began to unlock supernatural doors for me. Just by the first step, walking in forgiveness, walking in love, I had to forgive that individual and I had to forgive myself. I had to forgive myself and I had to forgive that individual because God forgives us. When we repent, God forgives us. So I forgave him. I forgave myself. Then Father put Minister Cindy in my life. I met her one time 4 years ago. She came into my life, and I was in my last trimester, and my dad was a great, My dad, rest in peace, he was a great Jamaican chef. So I was a princess in the household. All he did, I asked him to cook something, and he cooked it, and it was done. All I had to do was sit and wait for the food to be done, and I would fix me this big long plate, and I would eat until my heart was content and go to sleep. That was the favorite thing I loved to do, was eat and take a nap. And Minister Sandy stepped in, God put her in my life because I was craving my daddy's food. And that yearning for him to be here was opening up a door of depression in my life during my pregnancy. And she began to cook for me. And she began to cook for me. And she's from the island as well. She began to cook for me. And when I mean cook for me, I mean every day cooking pots and food that I could bring home and eat. And I begin to start getting nourished, not only in the spirit, but in the word. And Father also put her in place, not only for that food nourishment, but most importantly, to begin to get me back in my seat, what we spoke about earlier, my seat in my position of praying and teaching the word of God and coming out of condemnation and shame. He told me to get back up, woman of God, and do what I have called you to do. So we got on the prayer line. We got back on the prayer line, and I wasn't on the prayer line for a while because I was running from my calling again, once again. We got back on the prayer line. The first week, it was just me and her. Within a couple of days, we invited another person, Minister Black. She got on the line. By that next Monday, we had about 10 people on the prayer line just praying with us, and then Father began to have me teach and pray. So this is in my last trimester. I'm praying. So now he showed me, okay, you got to walk in forgiveness. So now to walk in this forgiveness, it's a process. Because what is walk? Walk is a verb. It's something that must constantly be done. It's something that must effort have to be put forth to it. So every time a thought came up of depression or anger or resentment, or every time a thought came up where I wanted to point fingers at this individual because of the situation that I was in, Father said, you got to cast down that thought. You got to cast down that thought. You can't feed into that. So 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought into the beat. I'm going to read it again. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When that thought came up that I wanted to be angry, I had to cast it down. When that thought came up that I wanted to name Sullivan, I had to cast it down. When that thought came up that I wanted to do certain things that was not of the characteristics of Christ, that was not of the fruit of the Spirit, I had to cast it down. I had to remember this scripture. I had to cast it down. I had to rebuke the thought in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua. I had to remove it, and I had to start meditating on whatever things are true, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are just, whatever things are noble, the things that are of God, the things that are of peace, the things that are of joy. I had to begin to do that. Now, there was a time that I really didn't want to do it. And I went on his Facebook page, and I put a post of the picture, and I kind of said a couple of things, not out of major character, but just doing the act of that was out of character. It wasn't in a leadership manner, and that's not what leaders do. Amen? So that was out of character. And then I had to go to what? Repentance. And that's another step of walking in love. The first you walk in forgiveness. You forgive the others and you forgive yourself. And then you start casting down the thoughts to help you continue to walk into this way of walking in love. And then you repent when you fall short. Then you repent when you do stumble again. You repent. And repent, from the Hebraic perspective, is called teshuvah. And that means to turn away from a sinful nature. I already told you that head is sin, to lose focus and concentration. It means to turn away from that nature that helps you, makes you continuously lose focus. Turn away from that. So Father began to show me, okay, you went on his page. You had that much time on your hands to go on this man's page and post something. Why don't you go on your page and start looking for more saints to save? Why don't you go and start spreading the word of God through all your social media sites? But why don't you have time to do that? So that's what I did. I went from the day I put that post on his page, I went from 900 friends on my Facebook page to right now I can't even accept no more friends. I'm at 5,000 max. I'm deleting people to accept other people. and I started spreading love. I started talking to strangers across the world, just telling them about God, telling them about Christ, telling them about my testimony, telling them how good God is and that God loves them. Teshuvah, he said, you have to repent. You have to repent daily throughout the day because we all fall short. Romans 3:23, it states that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So when we fall short, we begin to ask Father to help us be obedient to what? To his will, to his way. We ask him to show us how to constantly walk in love and to walk in the mind of Christ so we can walk in Christ-like love. Amen? And then Father showed me, in order to stay in that nature and stay in that spiritual realm, you have to keep your armor on. You have to keep all the pieces of God on to walk in this love. To walk in this type of love is not always easy because you have to tame your flesh. You got to put the whip, like my Pastor Gerald say, you got to take the whip to your old self. And when that old self begins to rise up, you got to whip them and tell them, sit down. That's not, you're not going to get up. I'm going to keep the spirit man up. And he's going to reign, and he's going to rule in this body, in this atmosphere. Our atmosphere changes when we walk in the Spirit. Did you know that? You can speak the word of God in an atmosphere, and you can lift heavy burdens and change the atmosphere by the word of God, by speaking it with power and authority and faith and boldness and accuracy. You can change the atmosphere. You can walk into a room, and if it's heavy, you can begin to praise God. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving and his throne room of praise, and you can change the atmosphere. That's another way to walk in love, to be an atmosphere changer. So anyway, Father says, he starts showing me that you got to keep your armor on. So where's the armor at? I'm giving you guys a lot of scriptures through every step, or scriptures in every step, because the word of God is so important. It is so important for you to know that the things that we say are not cliches that we're just making up. These are the living word of God, and his word is not going to be void, or he will have to destroy himself and everything that he created. This word is alive, and when you can hold on and grasp on to the living word of God, you prosper. Your soul prospers. Amen. Prosperity is not just about money. Prosperity is about seeing your soul move into the kingdom knowledge and the kingdom dominion and power and authority that Christ has given you when he died on Calvary. It was finished. Hallelujah. Okay, so he says the arm of God. So now we're walking and we're walking in this Christ-like love, we're walking in the Christ capabilities, and he said, you got to keep putting Christ on you throughout the day, all day, to help you not stumble, to help you not let the flesh rouse up, so that when you don't get anger, you don't walk in anger, that you don't walk in frustration, and you don't let the chaotic things of the ways of the world and the economy and the hearsay and all of that affect you to make your spirit die and your flesh rise up. You got to keep the armor on so your spirit stays in control at all times. So the armor of God is in Ephesians 6. It starts at explaining it at verse 10, and I'm going to start reading from there. It says, finally, Ephesians 6, we're going to go from 10 to verse 20. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Your strength is in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're going to stop right there for a minute because remember we told you where you were seated at. Far above principalities, far above principalities, powers, mights, and dominions in every name that is named. So you are seated far above this. Now, if you didn't hear that scripture prior to that, you might get to this verse and say, well, if we fight against these principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age, then we lose. No, you win. Hallelujah. You win because you are in Christ. You win.
Yes.
You've won already. But you got to hear that thing. So now you get to the scripture, he's saying, how do you stay strong? You stay strong in me. Now put on the whole armor. The whole armor is just all of Christ's capabilities. It's all the attributes of Christ. That's pretty much what you're doing. So he says we don't wrestle against the flesh and blood and principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of the day, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. He says, so therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We're in the evil day now. There's race wars being created throughout the world right now to divide us, to make us second guess the powers and the word of God, to make us fall submissive to man and not the Holy Spirit. And we got to be mindful of that. And when you start being submissive to man and submissive to the flesh, you are soaring too low. God says he's going to mount you up on your wings as an eagle so you can run and not get weary, and you can walk and not faint. So you can run and not get weary, and you can walk and not faint. He is going to strengthen you in the times that you need to. He's going to mount you up, and he compared you to an eagle. Do you know that the eagle soars against the wind at all times? He's going against all odds at all times, and that's what Father says that you are. You're like an eagle. You're mounted high and lifted up. You're going against all odds. You're going against all grains. You're going against all opposition, and you still win because an eagle can see so far. He can see the prey, and he can attack it. The prey can't attack him. And that's who you are. You're a force that cannot be reckoned with. So he says, stand. He says, so therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, he says, stand therefore. Now, on the prayer line, we declare and decree this over us. We declare and decree that we are putting on the breastplate of righteousness. We're shredding our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You can take any scripture of the word of God, and you can declare it and decree it over your life. You don't just have to read the word of God. You can take that thing and activate it in the realm of the spirit and make it manifest in the natural realm by how you say it, with the authority and the power of God that he has given you in your identity in Christ. So he says, therefore, having your waist with truth, having girded your waist with truth, this is the armor, you're girding your waist with truth, you're putting on the breastplate of righteousness, you're shredding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, you're taking the shield of faith, faith which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You see, he didn't say some. You see, he didn't say many or most. He said all. Your faith is going to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, he says, which is the word of God. And you're going to be praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then he continues to say, and as for me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We use that whole thing from verse 10 to 20 because each one of them is important. It's a reminder of some. It's a declaration of what you need to do, and it's also a reminder that you need to spread the gospel boldly and speak boldly as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. It's a reminder that you need to pray and pray always. Pray by the Spirit. Amen? So, you have your armor on, so now you're walking in love. You're loving each other. You're being respectful to one another. What is love? Let's go back. Remind ourselves what is love is. How did God define love? 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. He said love is patient, so you're walking in patience. Love is kind, so you're walking in kindness. Love does not envy. It does not envy, so you're not being envious of others. You're honoring them. You're rejoicing with them when they have things. It does not boast. You're not boasting. You're not walking around being prideful, saying, I did. No, you're giving it to God. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. You're not going to dishonor others. You're not going to go on Facebook and put things on people's page, or you're not going to call people and curse them out. You're not going to disrespect them in the street or in public places. You're not going to dishonor anybody. It's not self-seeking. You're not going to put yourself in ahead of everybody. You're not going to seek self-righteousness. Come on, somebody. Do you hear what love is? It's not easily angered. The word of God says you can be angry but do not sin. It's not easily angered. When you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit and you are truly in the presence of God, there's no way that you can be angry in the presence of God, because the presence of God is full of joy. In the presence of God is full of joy and happiness and peace. It's awesome being in the presence of God. And we have barely scratched the surface being in it. Love does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It doesn't easily anger. It keeps no records of wrong. Stop tallying up everything that your kids are doing wrong, everything that your man is doing wrong, everything that your wife is doing wrong, everything that your mother did wrong, everything that your sister did wrong. It keeps no wrong. That's what true love is. This is the type of love we must, not maybe, we must walk in. Because if we say we love Christ and we are in him and Christ is in us, how can we walk any other way? We cannot walk contrary to the word of God. Is it going to happen? Yes, we all fall short. We already explained what sin is. But we got to get back up again. We got to put our armor back on. We got to repent. We got to cry out to God. And we have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and forgive others and love on them and pray for them earnestly and wish the best for them and not judge and let God be the judge and let God rule and take control over that individual that may have wronged you. Then look at what they did wrong. Look at self. Look at what you did wrong. Look at how you put yourself in this situation, probably because you were disobedient to God, like many of us. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Don't lie. Don't be walking around lying about stuff. Be transparent. Let that stuff out. It's always protective. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. So that's what love is. So we're walking in love. We got our armor of God on. We're walking in the armor of God. We're walking in forgiveness. We're walking in, we're praying. The next thing is that we're going to pray. And that's what Father was showing me. In the situation that I was in, these are the steps that I was going through. So as he began to bring people into my life, Minister Sandy, Minister Brack stepped up a little bit more. I've known her for years, but all of the other people were pretty new. He started bringing my family, and none of them live in the state of California with me. So I have no family out here. So to have all of these people come and start loving on me at the time Father's telling me to walk in love, it was new for me. It was new for me because I'm in a state of untrusting right now. And he begins to love on me so I can begin to display that same type of love to others. He brought a whole church around me that began to love on me and bless me and gave me a baby shower and blessed my baby and helped me through hard times.
Praise
and they
God.
Called and checked on me, the pastors and the leaders and the elders. They called and they checked on me. Even when I wasn't going to church because I was sick, they called. And they checked on me and said, I just wanted to tell you I love you. The pastor's mother called and checked on me. I just wanted to tell you that I love you, my sister. This is the love of God. So he says, now you got your armor on, you're walking this walk. You're doing it step by step, day by day. And you're renewing your mind. You're transforming now. So as you're doing this, he said, you got to pray. And just like we read in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians, rejoice, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Where are you? You're in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in you. And I got to keep saying that because it's a reminder of who you are in the identity of Christ. It's a reminder of what you are able to do and able to obtain when you understand that you truly are in Christ and Christ is in you. That the resurrection power of the Almighty God that went down to hell and stole the keys from the devil and made him bow down to him, that resurrection power of the glory of God is residing inside of you right now, this very moment. You got to hear that thing. And you got to believe that thing. And you got to walk knowing it confidently that the power of God is inside of you. God is so awesome. And then he says that you got to start thinking. So now all this time that the people are loving on me, I begin to start praying more. We're praying on the prayer line every day. I'm praying in the household every watch hour. I set my alarm for every 3 hours, starting at 6 o'clock, 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12, 12 noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., 9 p.m., and if I'm up, then I start all over again every time. If I wake up in the middle of the night and it's 2 o'clock and I'm up to 3, I start praying again at 3. And even in between, that I gave myself a reminder to pray what? Always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. And I'm praying for the individual. I'm praying for my children's father. I'm praying for those that wronged me. I'm asking God to bless them. I'm asking God to forgive them. I'm asking God to open up their heart. I'm praying for them. I'm praying for myself. I'm praying for my family. I'm praying for my heart to be cleansed and healed and made whole, and that I walk in a righteous state of God so I can continue to be a vessel of God for his glory to go through me, to display the love to all those individuals that may be hurting, that may be going through the same things I'm going through, but they don't know how to get out because they're not strong in the faith like I am. They're not strong in the walk like I am. And I begin to pray. And I begin to pray. And I begin to pray. I began to pray so hard that those days I woke up and the alarm went off and I was like, Daddy, I don't even want to pray. And I still prayed because prayer changes. Prayer keeps you close to Christ. Prayer keeps you close to God. Prayer keeps you intimate with Daddy so you can hear him when he say move, so you can hear him when he say don't answer the phone, so you can hear him when he say don't go outside today, don't turn right on that street, go down, take the highway, don't take the road, so you can hear him when he say take that job, don't interview at that job, turn that call down. You can hear him. He's speaking to you all day throughout the day. And his most important thing he's talking to you about and telling you about is that you have to love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For whosoever believes in him, they should have eternal life. God so loved you that he gave you his most precious possession, his most precious blood, his time, his energy. And we have to be the same individuals. We got to be so loving and love individuals that we give them the love of God. Not our love. Because our love is flaky and sometimes it may not be timey at all. We might not even give it time. But we got to give him the love of God. Amen? So he says, Amen. You have to pray. And then he says, you have to thank me. So now I'm being blessed. Doors are opening up. The favor of God is over my life even greater. The things that I was worrying about of going through, having a baby by myself, being in a delivery room by myself, the churches was there, Minister Sandy was there, everybody was calling me. I had the love of God around me. I begin to thank him. I begin to thank him for the food. I begin to thank him for the help. I begin to thank him for the financial blessings. I begin to thank him for me praying, to being able to have the strength to pray when I was sick, to pray when I didn't want to pray, that the strength of God was inside of me and he was showing me how strong I was in him. Not my own strength, but the strength of him in me. He began to show me how he was inside of me and he was permeating my heart and my mind and my soul and he was cleansing me. And I just began to thank him. And then the last one is praising. So before we go into that, I need to give you a definition of thankfulness. Thankfulness and praise is two different things, even though they go hand in hand. Thankfulness is an expression of praise. It is rooted in God's actions, but also in his character. Praise. When we are praising God, we're not so much thanking him for what he has done, but we're honoring him and we're adoring him for who he is. For who he is, that he is the God of God, that he is the King of kings, that he is the Lord of lords, that he is El Shaddai, that he is Jehovah Yireh, the Lord that will provide. He is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, that he's merciful, that he's faithful, that he's gracious, that he's loving, that he's kind, that he's tender, that he's comforting. You're thanking him for who he is. That he's our provision, that he is our supply. He is our provision. He is our supply. He is our finances. He is our shelter. Hallelujah. In him we have safety. In him we have peace. So
hallelujah.
The last two things were thankfulness and praise. So he said, you got to begin to thank me. And you see in Psalms 92:1-2, he said, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to your name, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Psalms 119:62, he said, at midnight I will rise and give thanks to you because of your righteous judgment. And then Colossians 3:17, just some of the scriptures. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You got to be thankful for all things. You got to be thankful for the trials and tribulations. I'm thankful for what happened to me last year. You know why? Because it made me stronger this year. It made me see a glory of God that I would not have seen unless I went through that trial and that tribulation. It made me see who I truly am and the attributes of God that I was pushing aside, that I wasn't allowed to come in and permeate into my heart. You got to be thankful for the things that you go through, good and bad. Because it's an opportunity of advancement. The bad things you go through is an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to change, an opportunity to enhance, an opportunity to get closer to God. If you're going through things continuously and you're finding yourself in a cycle, that means there's something you're not doing to hear from God. Get closer. It's just that simple. Get closer to God, and he will show you how to change. You can't change yourself. Only God can change you. You're definitely going to need his help. Amen? So the last thing was praise. And we talked about praise is honoring and adoring God for who he is. And Psalms 145, I love that psalm. We read it several times. And Psalms 145, it starts off and it says, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. And every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And his gratefulness, his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. And I will meditate on your glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous work. Men shall speak of your might and your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord, verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He is slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And I'm going to just stop right there, but you can continue reading. And it starts just praising God and honoring God for who he is, that he's splendorful, that he's wonderful, that he's glorious, that his dominion endures, that he upholds all. Hallelujah. That he upholds all. God is so wonderful. We got about 6 minutes left. And I just want to pray the glory of God over the atmosphere and the lives of those that are going through something, that maybe your heart is hurting and you don't know what to do, how to get it clean. I thank God and I declare and decree the hand of God, the fire of God, to burn all those things that is not like him, burn all those attributes that is contrary to the word of God, to uplift you, to lift up your head and to remove all heavy burdens and give you the strength of God, that the strength of God with all might will rest on your mind, your body, and your soul and saturate you and saturate you. In every area, saturate you and saturate you. The saturation is so important. You need to be filled and have the Holy Spirit rain down on you so you can truly feel and experience the love of God and the glory of God. And I ask the Holy Spirit to rain down on you right now, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, to rain down on you right now in the name of Yeshua, to tame your flesh right now in the name of Yeshua, to open up the eyes of your understanding so you can know what the hope of his calling is, the riches of his glory and the inheritance that he has is being your saints. You can truly understand the depth, the width, and the length, and the height of God. So you can truly understand his love, so you can walk in his love. Amen? God is so wonderful, and he wants you to know how much he loves you, and he wants you to be a vessel so that he can use you to show others the love, the unconditional love that he has for each and every one of us. God is so wonderful. Amen? In conclusion, we're talking about walking in love. And I pray that every thought that you take be of God. And every step that you make, every step that you make is with the Christ-like attributes and capability that you continue to walk in his favor and his anointing. And as you continue to draw closer to him, that he just open up supernatural doors and just overflow the heavenly blessings and make it materialize in the natural realm for you. This broadcast, this show that we're doing right now, is a broadcast that's on demand. And you can find it on the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers with an S dash ministry. You can listen to it. You can re-listen to it. You can share it. You can send it to somebody and let them know that God truly loves them. And let them know it's okay to fall short, but get back up again. Put your armor on. Forgive those that have hurt you. Forgive yourself for not listening to God and putting yourself in the situation. Or if you didn't put yourself in the situation, just forgive anyway. Because that is the key to walking in supernatural love. It's the key. It's the key. And God is so faithful that he gives you the keys in his word. He gives you the keys. Amen? God is wonderful. I am Evangelist Yolanda Reeves. I am the founder of Anointed Intercessory Prayer Ministry. We are on the prayer ministry every day, Monday through Friday, not Tuesday, so it's Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We are on the prayer line at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and it's you dial in 760-569-7171. The code is 971-674, Monday, Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays. And we get on that prayer line, and we pray, and we exalt God's name, and we teach the word of God in truth and in accuracy, and we are led by the Holy Spirit, and we are transparent with each other to let everybody know that it's okay. It's okay. Your walk is okay right now. God knows where you're at right now, but he is calling out to you to allow him to change you into what he wants you to be. Amen? Don't be fearful of where you are in your walk right now, no matter what age you are, no matter what nationality you are, no matter what church you grew up in. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into truth, into love. Amen? God is so awesome and wonderful. I love you guys, and I thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us. I love you with the love of the Lord. You are my brothers and sisters, and remember that. You have to love each other because at the end of the day, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? I love you guys so much, and thank you for your time. Walk in love as God is love and display his love abroad. Hallelujah. 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 He's awesome. We got one more minute.